Uh-oh, you have now reached the Utah Jazz podcast that with every episode in this season halves the time in between the episodes. Doug, at this pace, we're going to have like five episodes a day in like 4 weeks. Here we are. We recorded last Monday and we're back at it. What's going on?
Mark, welcome to your daily Utah Jazz podcast from the Hintze Brothers.
Yep.
Not much, man. Just still riding the high of sending a sour Giannis into the locker room.
Oh, man. Deep cut to Giannis catching strays right off the bat.
Did you see, this is like the year of Giannis kind of being a
surly,
maybe a little like all-star diva-ish, but I think he's earned it. But yeah, he was walking out of that Jazz Bucks game last night with 40 seconds left. He didn't even want to shake hands.
Yeah, big Giannis fans in this house, I'll confess. One of the only non-Jazz related jerseys I own, in part because my son Lucas is a big Giannis fan, and Kristen accidentally ordered an adult size jersey for him for his birthday once or something. But also because, yeah, he's a likable guy. I like the Bucks, like Dame. Certainly like to see them lose, though. It is funny that has kind of been a theme that he's been a little more sour and surly. And Kristen, as we were watching, was actually like, hey, Giannis is kind of, he's like the nicest guy out there. And I was like, well, I don't know. He's kind of being a little not so nice this time. But anyways, neither here nor there. Some might accuse us, Doug, of waiting until the Jazz have a good win to do another podcast. Fortunately, this time we could still do that and do it on a weekly basis. But let's talk about it, Doug. What happened last week?
Well, Mark, luckily we didn't just say it last week because, like we've already overly stated,
oh boy, we're driving this one home.
but I mean, it wasn't the most happy week as far as the wins and loss column, but we're going to talk you through it. So we started off the week with a Monday game in New York versus the Nets, and that one was a tough one. We lost 114 to 147. Next day, back-to-back in New York, we played the Knicks, lost 103 to 118. Then we had a night off, came back home, and played the 76ers without Big Joel. And that was a tight one, lost 127-124. And we rounded out the week with what I might call a must-win versus the Bucks at 123-108. And that was, you know, that was, it was a nice way to finish off what was a tough three-game skid.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 1-3 week. I mean, there's not a lot of good ways to frame that. But it feels a lot better when it ends on a high note. And we find ourselves sitting in the same spot we were a week ago, which is 10 seed in the play-in. Maybe not with as much of a moat below as we would like, and maybe not moving up as much as we'd want, but also some scuttling in the West. And it's like, we're still not that far from the 6th seed. Let's just talk about the things that we saw this week. Hey, Doug?
Let's do it.
3-on-3. Can I start?
Start us off.
I think I started last time. You know, sometimes when there's three things you got to say, people do the sandwich method. My first companion in Japan did this. And
the good, maybe the bad, to a point
that drove me nuts. Like, you know, here's like a compliment. Here's like the real thing I'm annoyed with you about. And here's another fake compliment at the end to try to make it sound like I'm not a bad guy. I'm going to take a different route and do an open face sandwich. I'm actually going to start with the bad thing. and that is, Doug, the birth or maybe the reemergence of the twos and threes curse. So you and I talked last week as glowingly as any two grown but starry-eyed young men would do about a basketball player, and his name is Colin Sexton, and just about how great he'd been. And then, like, you know, the freshness of our podcast had not yet come off in people's Spotify and Apple podcasts before Colin Sexton took the floor against the Brooklyn Nets and put up a 1-for-10 shooting performance for 6 points, still 7 assists. Good on him. But I would lump this as the most disappointing loss in the week when I told Lucas, oh, we're playing the Nets, Eric, we're going to kill the Nets. Not so. Got run out the gym, and after just a string of really efficient basketball, Colin came back to earth and then some. Our guy Chris Dunn, who we talked a lot about, got 17 minutes in that game. He's 3-for-3 from three. So whatever. I just felt like, it was just kind of funny that maybe we put the bad juju on Colin Sexton right after that podcast came out.
if we're being honest, maybe Colin was so excited. He listened to our podcast and he was feeling himself a little bit. So we can say, Colin, be better.
Yeah, bro. It's like we think you're great, but like it's not time to let the foot off the gas. Anyways, that was just it was interesting to see that obviously, like, when you lose by 33 points, it's not on one guy. But he'd been such an engine in the positive play of late, and wasn't a great game. Also, Lauri Markkanen. So that was it. What do you got?
Kind of a downer week for a couple guys, but yeah, what definitely wasn't Colin's one shining moment for sure. I guess maybe someone who was on the opposite spectrum as far as everyone anointing Keyonte George as being firmly stuck in the rookie wall, or on the rookie wall, potentially. If it's a wall, you're probably on it instead of in it. But Keyonte George, even though we had a solid 1-for-1 win, 3 losses, he had a really good week. Just some straight shooting splits. We've got him scoring 16.5 points per game, shooting 53% from field goal, and was nice from the 3-point line, averaging 40% in the 4 games together. But was a huge catalyst in the Bucks game for the win. He was real nice in the fourth quarter. We have a little running joke. Maybe it's just a joke for me because I'm the only one that knows it, but in the Hincy home over here, my daughter, anytime anyone scores, it's Simone. She just loves Simone. But in the Bucks game, she said that Keyonte George was her favorite player verbatim. That's what she said, which was really surprising. And sometimes we play a little one-on-one on our little Tykes hoop over here, and we say, it's Keyonte passing to Simone. But she, as we're talking about anointing, she anointed Keyonte as her favorite player in the game, and I think he felt it.
Incredible.
He threw up some big fourth quarter threes and was just looking nice, man. His dunk, was it at the end of the third quarter or was it just in the fourth right before a timeout, one or the other? But it was just nice. He was feeling himself in the right way. And Keyonte George, just in general, had a stellar week, which is really good to see from the general rookie slump that he had been in.
Yeah, he was great. Kind of an interesting juxtaposition in the week. I think it was in the Philly game where, like, this little snippet of somebody in the stadium kind of got shared around Twitter. I'm curious if you saw it, but it was basically, like, I think it was Kelly Olynyk getting the ball, kind of looking Keyonte's way and, like, faking it and then driving, and Keyonte just looking really annoyed / dejected with his arms down, and people were like making comments about it or something. I think it was like a key possession late full disclosure, I was on an airplane for most of that game and following it desperately on my phone in a car from the Salt Lake City airport, right past the stadium to Park City. That fast forward to that post game interview after the Bucks game, where he's just like the picture of joy and got his first career double double, something we talked about a lot in our last episode. And I'm still trying to get my son to realize the value of, because he's so triple double enamored, thanks to Jordan Clarkson. But yeah, I mean, he was great. And, you know, all says to me is that he's a rookie, and maybe his body language isn't perfect all the time. But he was energetic. He was awesome. Those dunks were amazing. Big threes. He continues to be a great passer. It was interesting that the double-double came in rebounds and not assists, because he's such a visionary. So I was trying to tell Lucas, hey, like, this guy's like a natural passer. You could, here comes triple-double down the road. But yeah, great week for often auto-corrected to keynote Keyonte George.
Right. I thought it was funny at the end of the game and in the interviews, Walker Kessler was getting a little bit mad because Keyonte had stolen all of his rebounds and he was just doing the hard work boxing out.
Do you know that I think seemed entirely fun and funny and cool, but it gave me like this weird eerie vibe of Rudy in an interview, or Donovan in an interview one time, and Rudy walking up and being like, pass the effing ball. Do you remember this?
No.
I remember it was from like probably 5 years ago. And I took it as a joke, but I remember like seeing Zach Lowe writing about it later, being like, people in Utah were worried about it or something. This one was definitely like well intended, but it was like just one of those like PTSD shutter down my spines, and maybe others in Jazzland saw that. But yeah, man, Keyonte George was great. and Walker was great. All right, can I give you my second one?
Yeah,
because I still feel a little bad about starting off with my open face smelly Ron pastrami
it
sandwich.
It was honest, Mark. I've got a down one to talk about too, so it's okay.
Okay, so my second good one is I just want to talk about Kelly Olynyk's passing, because this guy, man, I mean, I think I've said it before on here. I've definitely said it to you multiple times. Nobody has more won me over in a stint like this than, I mean, obviously the all-time one for me is Jordan Clarkson, who I was like very not excited to get. And now he's like my favorite Jazz player ever. One of them, you know? But Kelly Olynyk, I never liked on Boston. He kind of bugged me, came, he was goofy looking. He looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And he makes winning basketball plays. And I loved watching him in person last week. He seems like a great teammate. And he makes the extra pass, and a kind of fun game in the Hintze household is Lucas like talking about which NBA player he's going to model his game after now, or who he's like now. And it's like this season, I'm like, him and one of his friends are like the two tallest kids on one of his teams, right? He's playing on two different teams. And I'm like, the other kid, I'm like, he's maybe a little more like Lauri Markkanen right now, because he's a little more of a dribbler and shooter. And Lucas has gotten way better at dribbling and scoring, but I'm like, he's a little more of a Walker Kessler right now, but you can aim to nice. Be that. And he's like, yeah, I want to be John Collins, actually, like an all-around player, you know. I thought that was pretty good, because we saw John Collins play great in person twice and really like him. And even though we might need to talk about his plus minus numbers compared to Walker Kessler later, but yesterday I was like, man, Luke, as one of the tallest guys out there, your dribbling's getting so much better. Nobody on our team knows how to pass, and nobody in the league knows how to pass very well. And you know who you could really become like and it'd be awesome? Kelly Olynyk, Shaggy. And I mean, ultimately, like, he's got to become some kind of hybrid of like Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's the goal we're working towards, man. Better every day. But I just thought Kelly Olynyk made the extra pass like a bunch of times towards the end of that Milwaukee game. And that stuff is just so contagious. And then he does this thing where he does like throws like the most garbage looking fall away jumper that just goes in all the time too.
I was hoping you weren't going to say it, because wasn't one of my one things, but I was just going to add on with that, man, that no arc fall away buzzer beater. That was killer.
Yeah, he kind of pushes it a little lower than maybe you'd like for a taller, but he just like throws him right, just goes in. He's great, and that's who I'm trying to model my son's next basketball phase of his basketball career after is none other than Kelly Olynyk, aka KO, aka Shaggy.
Well, I think that's great, Mark. When I was playing in my first competition basketball league, I think I was in fifth grade or sixth grade. I was probably in sixth grade, and my person that I was trying to be an all-around basketball player and model my basketball sense around was Andrei Kirilenko. I don't know if you remember that, but
Yeah, I've
it
heard of
was a
him.
spiky-haired Andre, so I was trying to block shots, get rebounds, and do fancy passes. And as a sixth grader, trying to dunk it, but just like dropping it in the hoop. I'm just joking. But
Yeah.
the
No, I mean,
AK
it's
dunk
kind of
was
a.
always the go up and just softly place it in and like graze the rim with your hand.
Yeah. He's kind of AK kind of stat line kind of guy. I mean, look, in this Bucks game, just to give it actual numbers, guy played 21 minutes and was plus 24 team high in those 21 minutes. He had eight points, seven rebounds, and six assists. He just made winning play after winning play. I mean, I guess he was the closest we flirted with a triple double since the Jordan Clarkson one. So just, I don't know. He's fun. I'm sweating every day as the trade line draws near. He's the most like in the Venn diagram of Danny Ainge and Marcus and the way we see the basketball world together. It appears that Kelly Olynyk might be at the center of
I
it.
like it.
I don't know how big that center is. Anyways, now he's maybe he's just going to trade him away and I can go back to being mad at him. But all right, what else do you got?
Well, I think that's a I love that point. Maybe I'm gonna go happy point just to jump off of that. I think one thing that we could really see in all the games, if we're being honest, the good and the bad, I think the strength of this Jazz team and why the trade deadline makes me nervous is it, and I always kind of get a little emotionally attached, I feel like, to everyone. And I think, like, when it came to the Rudy and Donovan era, it was always like, man, I really hope that these guys are friends. And it kind of seems like, at least from reports, like there's just like a bunch of dudes on the team. Like everyone's good friends, and there's not necessarily like a hardcore alpha that. So maybe there's a little bit of a leadership question there, but it's just like a bunch of nice guys that like being together, and it just seems like the chemistry is on. Obviously, we have our perennial didn't crack the All-Star game this year so far. I guess we'll see if there's any injuries, but we've got Lowry, but kind of the rest of the team, it takes a huge team effort. Whether there's a winner or a loss, I guess you could say as well. But if you just look at the Bucks game, I saw a stat that I love that Kelly Olynyk and Walker Kessler both combined had 17 points in the fourth quarter, and the whole Bucks team only had 13. But a lot of just like stellar play all around, a lot of different people making important plays. To get a big team win. So I guess my point number two is awesome team play. We saw some killer Jordan Clarkson assists in the fourth quarter. Keontae George was hitting some nice shots. Walker Kessler was playing amazing defense. Colin Sexton had an early third or early 11 in the first quarter. John Collins with the general 15 and 10 seems like he's almost always around those points. And it just seems like every time we win, it's a big team effort. Like there's at least four plus guys that are in double figures, and it's just like fun basketball to watch. And I know that was something that during the Donovan and Rudy phase too, it would be like those people that actually loved basketball in the national media were the ones that were commenting on the Jazz because they were so fun to watch. And right now it is like the strength of the team is the team. And it's just fun to see when everything's going right. Awesome team basketball.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we watched that game, Lucas, Kristen, and I, kind of from all together from when the Jazz were down, like kind of big, and then making the run, right? And she said that they're just fun. Same thing. She just said it's unselfish basketball, and that's fun to watch. And yeah, it wasn't like that at the beginning of the season. It was the big, kind of the biggest difference of why it looked better, is it just looked more, it didn't have that kind of magic extra pass zip unselfish basketball. And you worry, at least I worry, that caught lightning in the bottle with it for a little bit, went on a good run, and we're settling back down to being a 500 team now that we're there or something, because maybe we don't have, more than just Laurie as that like top level creator at the end of games. Can Colin be it? I mean, again, he's back to 19 points on 13 shots last game. Pretty good. But like you said, it was all spread across the board. I don't know. I'm optimistic. February is going to be a big month with a bunch more home games to come. And let's see. But yeah, it's fun to watch. As a fan, it's exactly what you want to watch, and it's the kind of thing that I want my basketball playing kids to watch. So great stuff. All right, I'll give you my last one. I alluded to it earlier. It's this Walker Kessler situation. You and I have talked about this, like the kind of figuring out the big men in the lineup problem that Will Hardy had at the beginning of the year, and how John Collins and Walker Kessler together didn't really work. And John Collins, in spite of everything I like about his game, he continues to kind of be a negative in the plus minus column on the team. And Walker Kessler is playing more, and he's positive. He's like 2.2 positive or something on the year. And in this game, this Bucks game, the Jazz finished with the 3 7-footer lineup. I mean, I get, was it four with Vando when we were really
Right.
stretching 7 footers? But with Kelly, Walker, and Laurie all on at the same time. And Will Hardy talked about that in the post-game presser I saw, where he was saying, they played a lot of minutes together like that last year. It looked great against that team. Look, this is one of the luxuries of a team like this, where you're playing against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you can actually throw 3 7-footers who actually move pretty good laterally side to side, and can make life a little bit harder for him. He's impossible to deal with, and that was pretty good, And those guys can all guard pretty well for their size and move. But Walker has just been great. He was, I said Kelly was plus 24. Walker was plus 20 in that game. Laurie's plus 20. Walker was plus 22, and Laurie's plus 20, and those were the three leaders. So that very interesting stuff, and just something to see. I mean, it's a positive for all of us who love, Walker Kessler in this town. But it's an interesting development, and like to see if he's going to continue not being the starting lineup. I like it right now, personally. I just like it. I like seeing it develop throughout a game and different people finishing the lineup, but he's definitely making an argument that he needs to be on the court more. That
I
game,
totally
27
agree.
minutes for him, 24 for John Collins. So interesting.
I think that's one nice thing about the team, and something that they talk about a lot, and maybe to my previous point, is that they're really open to going with the hot hand. And Will's kind of, I mean, there's a pretty set rotation on the regular, but when it comes to the fourth quarter, he's gonna play whoever's hot. Like in the Bucks game, like Keontae finished instead of Colin Sexton, and so did Jordan Clarkson instead of Chris Dunn, which Chris Dunn usually doesn't finish. But yeah, it was really, I mean, Lowry was the only starter who finished the game. Oh, I guess your boy Kelly O finished as well. But yeah, I think that is definitely a strength of the team, but I also agree with you. It does seem like at some point, especially when we've had such a struggle defensively in the paint without Walker, sometimes it just feels like we got to get him more minutes in there.
It's tough, man. And I'll say this. it's tough to watch a sieve. And he does put it. I was just thinking, as I tend to do all the way back to the killer M&Ms that I would talk to about on this podcast, Avery's third grade basketball team, not fifth grade basketball team. we had a game with Avery today, playing against the team second in the league. We are currently seventh of eighth coming in, but spoiler alert, we beat them. And this, I think, is going to bump us all the way up to fourth and fighting for a playoff spot. And I think Avery, no lie, had 15 blocks in this game. Just like she couldn't hit the broadside of a barn shooting today. It was kind of funny. She did score, like she had better offensive days, but defensively she was so dominant. And we only had six players, so I was had the luxury of not having to substitute a lot of people. But I couldn't afford, like the last two games we played, I can't even afford to take her out because it's like the Jazz without Walker Kessler. And it's the same thing with Lucas on one of his teams where it's just like, man, we need that big body in the middle. And it's just funny that that's how basketball just kind of is at any level. Like it's hard to play if you don't have like the big body that can stop penetration to the rim. I mean, we played this other team. We probably lost by 8 or something, 10. And, we were minus 12 when Avery was out probably, and it just had to sub, right? It's a league where you gotta play everybody and stuff, so but that's what it feels like with Walker Kessler. It's weird. I mean, you can teams do it and are collectively able to guard, but this Jazz team, it can score a lot, but it can give up a lot of points when he doesn't play. Interestingly, same with the Bucks, man. I don't know what to think about them because I do love Dame. They were on the second night of a back-to-back, and I love Giannis, but man, they don't guard a lot either. They give up a lot of points fast, even though they're a really good offensive team. Be interesting to see how Glenn Doc Rivers handles that situation. But this is a Utah Jazz podcast, Doug. So
Right. Go talk about Doc Rivers with all of your Boston friends or
yeah.
whoever there.
I don't know.
No,
All
I'm
I
just
wanted to
kidding.
say is
No,
cool
just
story,
kidding.
Glenn, because that was that what it was a Draymond that said that. Actually, never mind.
Oh,
We'll
really?
scratch that. All right.
Well, I guess just my last point. I just want to educate the people. I got a text from a buddy this week, and it was I think it was the Knicks game. And he said it was something like Jazz are getting smashed. Does our defense just suck? And maybe there's a point to that where there, I guess, is the point that I am going to say it does go into or transition into defense. But if you want to be a truly educated person, the easiest thing to note is that the Jazz are the worst team in the NBA as far as turning the ball over. So
Yikes.
they're just a like literally statistically, the Jazz do average the most turnovers in the NBA. That is 15.8 turnovers.
Whew.
And that if you're wondering, it's a lot. And this week, in all four of the games, the Jazz, compared to their opponent, still had more turnovers, even compared to the Bucks when we beat them. Actually, our best turnover game was the 127-124 loss to Philadelphia, where we only had 9. but that's kind of been one of the big issues with the Jazz this year is just turnovers, and you'll see it. You can actually on NBA.com, you can click on the stat and watch every single turnover or every single 3-pointer made or whatever statistic you want to see the highlight for. And more often than not, it's someone getting sped up or just kind of a lazy pass. And that just kind of seems to be like the death knell for the Jazz. It felt like in the Nets game was kind of a wash, but in the Knicks game, there was multiple times where we would go on like a mini run, like a 5-7 point run and start chipping away at their lead and then have like two or three bad turnovers in a row and just completely annihilate any sense of momentum that we had, and it was just repeated over and over again. So Jazz got to tighten that up. That's a big thing. That's one of the reasons why we have so many a guard heavy trade rumor speculation season, because we do have so many turnovers. I think that definitely contributes. But I honestly think the Jazz play some pretty good defense. I guess we alluded to it earlier that when Walker Kessler's off the court, the paint play kind of deteriorates a little bit, but we've seen the Jazz kind of pioneer a reliance on the zone, and some other NBA teams are following suit. But we play some nice stints of defense, but it's the onslaught of turnovers that's really killing any extended momentum plays. So gotta fix that.
Yeah, man. I guess what I would say, agreed on all accounts. If you have gone to NBA.com and watched every one of those turnovers from the Knicks game, we should talk afterwards because I want to make sure everything's okay. And if not, I don't know. Sometimes that's an effect of the team that's making the trying to be it make the extra pass, can't move it around. I mean, there's more ISO heavy teams; they're going to turn the ball over less. But it's the backbreaking turnovers, It's the ones where it leads to points the other way and are just dumb, careless, and Jazz got to be better. All right, well, not the happiest one then, not a nice sandwich method fail
I
on both
suck.
of us.
Okay, well, wait.
Yeah,
Let's just
but.
say we're ecstatic after the Bucks game. The Jazz have three, I don't know, just two games this week. Two great opponents. We're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder in Utah, and then the Phoenix Suns in Arizona. So those will be two great games.
Yeah, good litmus test week. Certainly the last one against the Thunder was fun. No, I mean, I was gonna say that was a perfectly adequate way to end a 1-3 week, but the week ended with such a fun game. And honestly, that Bucks game was awesome. Super fun. So let's roll into our segment two, Doug, where we revisit the same theme that we've had on each of our episodes so far. Does it feel like something like that? Where we're talking about trades. Is that what's going on here?
Man, did we talk about that last week? I'm trying to think. I was just gonna say this will be the one week that we truly dive into it because we
Yeah, we didn't dive into it
All
before.
right,
We
all right,
talked
all right.
about
We're talking
setting
about rumors.
expectations, and that's how that could happen. And we talked about
Yeah,
rumors and stuff.
right.
But yeah,
We're
lay it
not
on me. What are you thinking? You've been hard at work in your spare time when you're not watching highlights of Jazz turnovers, concocting trades.
Well, not necessarily concocting. I was just picking up what p other people are putting down. But
Yeah, we're good at
this is
that.
not a jazz trade rumor podcast, Mark. If you didn't already know, I think you're a listener as well as a contributor. But
I'm our number one
that's
listener.
we're pretty we're kind of the fans that emotionally attach to the players. If you didn't know, jump on the episode where Mark talks about his ACL tear analogy. But alas, that is the big talking point of this week. Whereas this Thursday, 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time for you,
Thank you.
is the end point of the trade deadline. And so, obviously, as
Also
Mark
known as
alluded,
just the trade deadline.
right,
Yeah.
yep. Mark and Danny Ainge never see eye to eye. Danny Ainge has firmly set himself with all the j assets that the Jazz have in every single trade rumor. I wanted to throw just a couple out to you, Mark, because there's a bazillion.
Yeah.
But it kind of seems like a lot of the conversation, especially with the turnovers that I talked about, there's been a big conversation on the Jazz leveling up their guard play. I, for one, I'm skeptical that anything will happen, especially with resurgence of Colin Sexton in the past 15, 20 games. But I have three rumors for you. I want you to rank them 1 out of 10 on how likely they are and give me a little, just a little blurb of your feelings.
Okay.
So this
Fire
one, we
away.
don't have official. Well, I've seen some rumors to it being the Atlanta Hawks asking for a starter and 2 first rounders, but you don't necessarily need a comment on that. But the big one, former All-Star, and I guess could be a perennial All-Star, but isn't this year. DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks, previously from the San Antonio Spurs to the Utah Jazz. What do you think about that, Mark?
So who we're giving up? We're giving up a starter and some picks. Is
A
that what's going
starter
on?
and 2 firsts. Yeah.
Which starter is it? Colin?
I saw Worldwide Wob said Colin.
Doesn't really move the needle for me. DeJounte Murray in concept is, a big guard who's theoretically good at defense. He's been playing in the defensive purgatory known as alongside Trae Young. So it's hard to judge him for that. But what? He was on mediocre to bad Spurs teams. He's on a mediocre to bad Hawks team. They traded a lot to get him. They're already a boarding. Personally, if I were them, I at least last year would have thought I'd rather build around him than Trae Young. Kind of a disappointing year. It could be new scenery, new thing, new skill set. It's a little more size on the guard line. I don't know if I'm ruining the other ones, but I'm just going to say this. I'm less of the mind that we need to improve the guard play, and I think we need bigger wings. I think we need to not be so reliant on Simone Mone, must be the Mone Fontecchio, who I like a lot. But I mean, I think that's like what in my opinion. Just because I have a hard time seeing. Now it's great to have, one of the best guards. If you have, I don't know, are we gonna get Devin Booker? Is he more of a wing? Are we gonna get Donovan Mitchell? Are we gonna get Darius Garland? Maybe they want to make a move. But this upper tier guard, Jalen Brunson, was probably not available to us. And I think people would have put DeJounte Murray in that category at one time, which is an argument to go get him, I guess. But I feel like it's sort of, most of those upper echelon 1 and 2 guard, like combo guards, are held close to the vest. And I feel like Colin Sexton, I'm good with Colin Sexton. And I'm trying to build more talent in the areas where we're a little bit less strong. But we've talked about it before. We got a lot of these guards, I guess, but I like the sort of Colin Sexton, Chris Dunn, and then let's see how Keontae George develops. I like that better than I like DeJounte Murray. So pass.
Mark passes. I think it's interesting. I would at least say I don't think it would be a net negative. But I where everything is right now, I probably wouldn't do it. But if we could get like prime DeJounte, 6'5", good wingspan, playing some defense, creating his own shot, could be
Wow, he's
interesting.
6'5".
6'5". All
I
right.
also don't
Next.
think the Hawks do that, for what it's worth.
Right. Next one, Mark. It probably didn't. He definitely didn't have a good audition in his New York Knicks game this week. But big speculation on Jordan Clarkson to the Knicks for, and maybe potentially the Jazz throwing Kelly Olynyk there as well for Quentin Grimes and Evan Fournier. Quentin Grimes, just as a refresh, was one of the biggest pieces, supposedly, quote unquote, in
Of the
the
Donovan
Donovan
Mitchell
Mitchell
trade
trade
that
that didn't
wasn't.
go true.
Meh. I don't want to make this theme. I hope this is an uninteresting podcasting, but no. What's Quentin Grimes then, I guess? I mean, a less good version of what we hope Keyonte George becomes. I mean, a scoring combo guard. Evan Fournier, it seems like every team he goes, I've always liked Evan Fournier, partially because of the Rudy Gobert connection. They seem to be friends. I think he's funny. He's got a skill set that seems to be good. I like his Twitter account. But every team seems to pay for him kind of a decent amount and then be eager to get rid of him almost immediately. So again, I feel like both those guys just kind of like, maybe it's a swap for parts, maybe it's a slight improvement, maybe it's a slight detriment, but it doesn't like, I don't think either of those are changing our destiny even this season.
Yeah, I think I agree. We have had nothing but great experience with Frenchmen on the Jazz. Shout out to Boris,
Heck yeah, get us Boris Diaw. I'd sign him right now.
one of our favorite Jazz.
Yeah. All-time Jazz.
Quentin Grimes won the Summer League MVP, which isn't a very big thing at, or he was at least on the Summer League All-Star, like top five, 2 years
Yikes.
ago.
If that's how you're selling me on him, then I'm out.
Did Morris Salomon do that once as well? I don't know. But yeah, not, I don't know. That one doesn't get me,
I think Quentin Grimes good, but meh.
especially when JC has such like a good contract the next couple years. And yeah. All right. Next one, Mark. This is more a shot in the dark, and I haven't seen any specific metrics to this one, so I'll leave it to your own imagination. But we love one half Filipino. Would you go for the other half? And it's Jalen Green. As the Houston Rockets have been surging, his role has diminished. Former number two overall pick. Would you take a flyer on Jalen Green?
Surging's a generous description for what's happening in Houston, but he's an interesting piece. I think he's as a yeah, like you said, a number two pick, ton of talent. The reason, it would depend on what I would trade Talen Horton-Tucker and like a pick, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I wouldn't trade a rotation guy for him. He'd be fun to take a flyer on, but it's not the kind of trade I want to see. I guess I want to see if there's a trade. It's like, well, we have some redundancy in the bigs, and so this guy's going. Whether that's either of the guys that I don't want to go, John Collins or Kelly Olynyk, but they go and they come back for. Look, if we got again I on the guard line, I think it has to be somebody clearly better than Collin Sexton. Like my bottom guy, which is like. I don't think they would trade for him, but it'd be like Darius Garland. It'd be like the Cavs are like, oh wait, as soon as Darius Garland got hurt and we didn't have to play Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland together, we're like the hottest team in the NBA other than like the Clippers, and they're like threatening to move past the Bucks as the two seed or whatever. We and Donovan Mitchell might leave, and maybe that's a reason to we trade him and trade. Garland to try to appease him or something and keep him around. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't do that because of that. They want to keep Garland because it's insurance. But if it's something like that, and it's like we could upgrade Collin Sexton to his old teammate Darius Garland and like the team, okay, guard, fine. Otherwise, I want, a rangy win. Like, I don't, can we get, oh man, who's that guy on Portland that used to be on the Nuggets that got paid too much money and moved around? I don't know.
Jeremy Grant.
Jeremy Grant. Could we get somebody like that?
I've thought about that too. Yeah.
Could we get, I always want Gary Trent Jr. or somebody like him. Could we have gotten OG Anunoby? Could we, somebody like in that ilk? Those guys are very desirable. The Jazz have all kinds of assets though. So it's like they could go get somebody. Were they available? But I don't know. To me, that's where, like, if you're gonna upgrade Colin the front guard line, it's got to be a clear upgrade and not a project, in my opinion. Just because I think that the core of the team's good enough that we should be using the assets to get better now.
I think that's a great point. Okay, so I'm just gonna spring this on you, Mark. In my social media scouring, I've only seen two confirmed, air quotes, not confirmed officially by the Jazz, but supposedly people who know, There have been two offers that the Jazz have made, and one is for DeJounte Murray, and the other is for a combination. And I'm gonna get you on this one, a combination of Miles Bridges and Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. I don't want a dumpster fire idea for a
I
million reasons. Yeah, I've just seen how mad people have been at that, and not for the Gordon Hayward part. Look, I don't really feel like commenting on the Charlotte one, so I'm just gonna
Yeah, that's
say,
probably a good thing.
I could be underselling DeJounte Murray. Maybe DeJounte Murray is as good as Darius Garland. Maybe he's better. I don't know. He might actually be an upgrade that's worth it. I'm inclined to not do it. I probably surprises nobody, but if they made some kind of guard package trade for DeJounte Murray, I would at least be like, well, the jury's not out for me on this. I'll see how it plays out, because maybe he is. I just don't know. Like, is he? Again, I think Keontae George is going to be ball dominant guard, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that's really hard for me is that if you make it, that's like any of the trades that they've quote unquote supposedly made an offer on, like Damian Lillard or Drew Holiday. It's like, yeah, what's your belief on Keontae? I guess I've been kind of like I've been listening to it because I felt like that was the one like. Someone who has been an all-star that the Jazz could be trading for. So I've been listening to a
Yeah.
lot of different people's takes on it today. I guess I could kind of see them playing together. It kind of seems like DeJounte Murray plays better though when he's initiating the offense.
Yeah, just been that
But
kind of failed experiment putting him with Trae Young.
right, with Trae Young.
Maybe
But
he's got a higher ceiling than Keontae. Maybe I'm wrong about, I don't know.
it almost feels like, I mean, we always the Jazz, Will Hardy always talk about how this is Keontae's first year ever being a point guard. Maybe, and this is me just having talked myself into it a lot today, just a I guess an emotional shelter if anything happens, but maybe they could play well together and it's almost like point guard 1A, 1B kind of thing. And I mean, that's a lot of what the Jazz already do. So especially where Keontae is in a hasn't always been a point guard. Yeah, there could be some swapping there, and they'd be both 4 inches plus taller than what was the Donovan Mitchell Mike Conley lineup kind of thing. So
Sure. Yeah, so would you do it?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of in a space where at first I didn't even want to hear anything about a single trade, and I honestly I think. It seems like to me from everything that we've learned, Will Hardy is a guy. So could he get the
That I
best
can
out of?
confirm. Will
Yeah.
Hardy is a guy. What?
What he's a dude, you know, like he's a great coach, and I think he will be for a long time. And he seems to be getting the best out of players. So would I do it? I don't know. I might. I think I could kind of see some success there, but I'm not saying it's like a no-brainer either.
Fair enough. Well, I don't think we're going to solve it here because it's going to happen this week or not, some kind of trade. But it's a good conversation and fun to think about. Doug, we're a little longer than I was targeting for. So, real quick, let's do a social media moment. What do you say? Do you have one?
I do. They announced the 3-point competition contestants. There we go. Took me a couple tries.
Nailed it.
And guess what, Mark? Lauri Markkanen's in the 3-point contest. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah.
But StatMuse posted it out, and obviously there's a 4-picture limit, and they announced 5 people, but Lowry was the only one whose picture was not on the StatMuse.
Oh,
And it
those
just felt
guys.
like
Oh,
a
those guys.
classic Jazz slight, you know?
Classic StatMuse just trolling us.
So that just made me laugh.
Lowry's gonna
That's
win it. Lowry is
so.
very well set up to win that, by the way. Because he's got such a quick release. He doesn't need like a high jumper. I mean, Dame has a classic 3-point contest, kind of a stroke.
But our guy Dame is defending his title that he won for.
Malik Threesley is not going to win it as much as I
No.
like him. I did see a little consternation about the fact that Sam Merrill didn't get on there.
I saw that too.
But yeah, awesome for Lori. Yeah, I'm excited for the weekend already. Hopefully he gets on the actual all-star team too, like by an injury reserve or something. But yeah, great. Well, let me tell you mine. An all-time Jazz Twitter favorite, Moni at Moni Log. There, the Jazz team store tweeted out this thing like 4 days ago. It was like the item of the game. Did you see this one? It's a white sweatshirt where on the front is just the Black Jazz logo, but on the back is 50 seasons of Jazz basketball, and it is all the panoply of messed up jerseys we've had over the years. You know, 9 different shades of green, the mountain ones, the yellow ones, like the, and everything. And she just retweeted it and said, "Poor D Wade's mom." And I don't know, made me laugh. She's the best.
That's awesome. Oh man, I would have bought that.
I would have bought it too. I just think it was funny that, you know, for those who don't recall that, part of the reason the Jazz did the rebrand was apparently because Dwayne Wade's mom asked him, like, what are the Jazz colors anyways? They're different all the time. She didn't even know. And so they're trying to get a new identity. So that was funny. But that's it, Doug. Anything else you needed the world to know, the vast world of our audience, about the Jazz in this week and your life?
I don't think so. I'm just going to say enjoy every moment. And go Jazz.
Climb every mountain. All right. This is Twos and Threes, Utah Jazz Podcast. We're going to be back next week, hopefully with a guest. Travis, if you're listening, your comment to the in Spotify was amazing. And sorry, this was a quick episode, but next time. So this is Twos and Threes. Boom.
Boom.